the most important thing, of course, is that we talk to Coach Broyles, who's been kind enough to join us here at our broadcast location. Coach?
Glad to be here. We're honored to be here.
15 years? Is this 15 years? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, 15 years.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, congratulations on what's become nationally renowned, luckily, I guess, the way things have gone, but, I mean, certainly deservedly so.
Well, thank you. We had, in my time, we couldn't get assistant coaches national press coverage. Mm-hmm. They could get coverage in their own state. In Arkansas, they write about the assistant coaches. And so this award got our coaches, assistant coaches, some national. It helped them become head coaches, and that's what we wanted to do.
That's right. Well, I'm sure that, we always talk about Coach Matthews, and obviously you've had a lot of great assistants over here.
Oh, I've had some terrific ones.
What about this? I don't know if you've ever been asked this before. If you didn't have Coach on there, who would you have on there with you? Who was another assistant that was a long-timer with you? Is there somebody that stands out to you as far as somebody that spent a lot of years with you up on the Hill?
Oh, Wilson Matthews, of course.
Yeah, right.
Was there until he died, and most of them have gone on to become head. We've had, I think, 28 of them, become head coaches or something like that. So we're proud of every one of them. And I get that question asked, which is the best, which one? But I can't come up with one. Right. There's so many of them, I just don't want to separate them from all together.
Right? What kind of input did you have on the trophy, the size of it? Like he said, to decide which assistant coach would be on the trophy with you, I guess you and Basil kind of talked a lot about deciding what
yeah, we thought that Wilson Matthews represented the best in assistant coaching. His career as a high school coach and all, and we thought it was just perfect to have him because he represented what assistant coaches should be. And so David agreed with me, and it's worked out perfectly.
That image? Is that taken from a picture?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that wasn't something that was created. No, you guys didn't have to stand there.
No. Taking the picture. We don't have the energy to do that. All the patience.
I think you got more energy than most people I know who are half your age. So I think you're doing
well. Thank you. I've got a lot of energy. I'm proud of that. Thank you. Lucky.
Let me ask you, and there's no better guy to ask about getting some perspective from a historic standpoint on the excitement around the Razorback program right now than you.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. I mean, going back over your career and, watching Arkansas football before you actually came here as the head coach, have you ever seen anything like this? And if so, maybe some of the years that kind of jump out at you as far as the excitement level that we're seeing today with the Sugar Bowl.
Well, if I had the memory, I could go back, but I don't. But the Razorback fans have pretty much been this way. They are a team, and we're no stronger than our team, and the Razorback fans are that important to us. Every speech that I've made, I've started with thanking the fans because they're what makes the Razorback pro. We could have our team up there, and if we had a 40,000-seat stadium, we wouldn't be in the Southeastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be in a major conference anywhere.
Right.
But our fans are the difference makers. We want them to know that. We want them to know they're appreciated, and we need them, and we need them. And the game, when they go to the game, bring somebody with them. Get them intoxicated with watching the Razorback play. Well, they'll buy tickets the next year.
Yeah, well, there's going to be all sorts of intoxicated, I'm assuming, down in New Orleans with the Sugar Bowl. But
absolutely. Well, the reason is that, the thing about Bobby Petrino, he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he grew up, his dad was a football coach, college football coach. So his entire life has been based in and involved with watching coaching. He understands it. He's not shifting gears here and there. He's got a game plan. He's had it. He stays with it and perfects it. And that's the reason he's successful.
Let me ask you about, too, I guess from an overall perspective, we've talked a lot about Coach Pelfrey, and obviously with Pat here, we talk basketball a lot.
Yeah.
Certainly things are not at their highest level right now. I know the fans, you talk about the importance of them. They've not been turning out in large numbers. It's a team that seems to be going in the right direction, though, with that recruiting class coming in next year. Just talk about, from your perspective, I know you've been at the highest highs, and now we're, kind of in a lull a little bit as far as fan support goes.
Well, coaching, you have to win. You can be the nicest person and the best coach, but if you don't win, you don't keep your job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true in any place in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows he's got to win. This is a crucial year for him.
So what do you think? What are we looking at as far as turnout goes down there? I guess it's a 70,000 or so is looking at it, Seat Stadium. You think
it's already sold? The allotment's already sold out for the university,
yeah.
I believe.
What's that now?
The tickets for the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The University.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I shifted gears on you again,
yeah,
Coach.
You
I
shift
apologize.
The gears on me. At my age, you can't do that.
I apologize. I went back. That was a bad segue.
Hey, you run one of these spread offenses.
I know.
Would you just
let's run a couple up the middle here.
I'm lost.
We'll sell every ticket they give us and try to scalp away from to get more. We'll have more fans there than they provide tickets for us.
Yeah.
If they give us 15,000 tickets, that's just a drop. We'll have 30,000 or more people there.
Yeah.
We love New Orleans. It's close by. We've got a ex-Arkansas fan base in Louisiana and East Texas there. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for us. The town will be loaded with red Razorback.
Love the end. Come on. How can you say no?
You need to get a pregame speech.
Where is the spot in New Orleans? We've talked about where we're going to eat some oysters, fresh seafood.
What do you look forward to when you go down there, Coach?
The golf course.
You play TPC Louisiana?
No,
you're
going to
get on the course down there? It's a little cold probably for
that. We're down there, and you know all I do is follow the crowd. I like to be with Razorback fans wherever they are.
Right.
And that's what's fun. They come up and brag and slap you on the back and build up your ego. Razorback fans are good at building up my ego and making me feel good and appreciated. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in my 53rd year in the Razorback program.
Well, they do appreciate you.
I appreciate them. Well, I appreciate the support they gave me. No one ever questioned that. I said, we want to get a national facilities. And I raised the money, and we built the best. And our facilities in 2008, the SEC did a survey, one of the big magazines did, and our facilities were voted number one over Florida, Georgia, Alabama. The Razorback fan, that's the Razorback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't call it support, it's passion.
Yeah.
Intense emotion that compels immediate action. That's a Razorback passion.
That's it.
Coach, I don't know how you've been able to do it. When you started out, obviously, it seemed like every year, even when I was there, you're always trying to improve things, whether it was the baseball stadium. I got there right after Bud Walton Arena was built. And then I saw the softball.
Take it down brick by brick.
I tried to take it down. Of course, I was able to chew on the fat of a lot of the players and what you've done before me. So I enjoy from the track and field. Was it something that every year you wanted to build upon what was there? How does that? I mean, is there ever a point where you say this is enough?
No. When I was named athletic director, I got the school to let me go. We were on as sponsoring football and basketball. In the Southwest Conference, we didn't even play in other sports. We played a junior college schedule, a local schedule. We didn't have the money to travel to Texas and play. So we got the Southwest Conference. We joined the Southwest Conference. We said we're going to have an all-sports program. It was announced in 69 that I'd be the athletic director when Barnhill retired. For 4 years, while I was waiting for Barnhill to retire, people would say to me, why can't we have an all-sports program? Why can't we have an all-sport? My son was a baseball player. He had to go here. My daughter was track. She had to go here. And all the sport, I just heard that everywhere I went. Please, when you become athletic director, put an all-sports program. So I was committed to a all-sports program. And believe it or not, the third year after we put in an all-sports program, they quit doing it because of pressure, but we were voted number one in we were number one in positions of our nine sports, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the nation. We won the all-sports trophy the third year after we put in an all-sports. That's the Razorback passion.
Yeah.
That's the Razorback passion.
Well, it started by him. Did I tell you when he called and yelled at me when I didn't go to when I had a D in geology? You probably don't remember this because you probably called.
He probably had to chew a lot of guys out.
He probably had to chew a lot of guys out. But I answered, and I think I answered the phone when I was supposed to be in class, which is not a good idea.
No, I would say so.
And then you yelled at me because I had a D in geology at the time, which I was glad you did because I had to bring it up, of course. You know,
I've been yelling at you ever since. So. Coach,
not for geology.
Well, you know what? The thing about college football, and it's something you're always improving. That's what you define coaching is, improving the people that you're working with. And that's exactly what we do in academics and everything. But that's the joy of coaching is watching the improvement of the players that you have.
You know, we always talk about coaches in waiting. He was the first athletic director in waiting, I think.
That's true.
Was that awkward when you were named athletic director in waiting and you sat there for 4 years sort of waiting your turn? That was kind of strange, huh?
Well, no, it was a good because I knew that I was going to stay. I wanted. Here's what I told him. I said, after being there 10 or 12 years, I said, I want to be here the rest of my life. I don't want to go to any other school. And they said, well, we're going to make you athletic director when Coach Barnhill retired. So I didn't care. You know, I wasn't ready to be athletic director in particular, but I knew that when I wanted to give up coaching, I'd made up my mind that if you coach beyond 50 years old, mm-hmm. you might as well, you're going to retire at their wish, not yours.
That's right.
And so I was going to retire at my desire, not when I was forced to retire. And so I was determined to quit coaching at 50. I coached till I was 52, 2 years longer than I planned to.
How many years into your run at Arkansas were you before you realized, you know what, I'm never going anywhere else? Or how long?
When I went there.
So when you got there, you're like, yeah. I'm good.
I had in 1948, was a Baylor backfield coach at 23 years old. We played in Fayetteville. And I walked we stayed in the old Mountain Inn, and that morning we took a walk, and I saw hogs on every store, on every car. I'd never seen anything like it. And that's when I fell in love with Arkansas. I'd been at Georgia Tech where everything was Georgia and big, right. You know, millions of people.
Yeah.
In Arkansas, everybody wore red. Everybody had a hog. Every car had a Razorback on it. That's what I wanted.
So before you came to Arkansas, you knew you were going to be there forever.
1948 was the job I wanted. When John Barnhill, he called me after Bowden White left and all, and the job opened up. I couldn't apply for it because I had a job. Did I go over that with you this morning?
No.
I've already interviewed. Given some many interviews. But I was at Missouri as a head coach, and I love Missouri. I would still be there except for Arkansas. And I'm not kidding about that. But Jack Mitchell went to Kansas, and I waited 2 weeks, and I thought, well, I don't know who he's going to hire. And I got a call, and I jokingly said in all my speeches, on December the 6th, at 9:31 and 20 seconds, I got a call. And it went like this. Hey, Frank, this is Barney. I said, what in the heck you been waiting on? I said, I'm getting the ducks on the pond. I said, where are they? He said, they're all swimming. I said, I accept it. I'll be there Friday.
I love it.
True story.
That was it.
I was there Friday, signed the contract, never left.
Coach, great seeing you. We appreciate
you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love to visit with you. Thank you very much.